Okay, what is going on YouTube? Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And who'd have thought Sam, the old Norwegian PE teacher, gets one over the master coach supreme Pep Guardiola. Massive result in the Manchester derby today. Absolutely huge. And one I didn't see coming, I have to tell you.
Do you know, of all the scenarios that played out in game week 27... that was not one of them.
Didn't see it coming, did you?
At no point did I think Man United could get something in that game. Like, I thought maybe a 0-0, that kind of did play out in my mind. And then I thought, don't be ridiculous, City just love scoring goals.
Did it ever occur to you over the course of the whole week to play Luke Shaw?
No.
Because for me, he was perma-benched all week, I'm telling you.
I literally got to the end of game week 26. In fact, I think it was before the end of game week 26 and went, thanks, Luke.
Yeah.
On the bench.
Third sub. I considered selling him actually this week.
Yeah, I considered selling him,
and in the end I didn't. I thought, well, he can just sit on the bench, come in against West Ham next week. 14-pointer for Luke Shaw today.
I mean, it hurts.
Rotting away. Third sub on my bench.
So
what a stinker.
So he's second sub for me, but I've only played three defenders, so I'm like crossing everything that Dallas or Creswell's got the flu.
If Creswell could just... You don't wish any ill on people, right? But if he's just got a sniffle, just resting.
Touch of food poison that lasts for 24 hours.
Yeah, just like
lasagna gay.
Yeah.
You know?
If Stuart Dallas just tweaked a hamstring, out for a couple of days.
Any of their wives happen to be pregnant, could go into labour.
Are we on baby watch for Creswell and Dallas?
No, we're not. But I mean,
no.
Okay. I mean, a miracle might happen. They might not know.
Yeah, it could be neither girlfriend pregnant for 9 months, but you know, all of a sudden could have a baby. You never know, it could happen.
I mean, a miracle is what I'm saying, basically.
A minor miracle, you never know. Luke Shaw could come off with your bench or one of those.
You never know. Off my bench.
You never know. So more bench points for us both this week, and of course we'll talk about our teams a bit later on in the show. Lots to talk about from game week 27, and of course we'll have an eye on game week 28. Now, we've just finished the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, has just finished. You're in a good mood.
Do you know...
You're in a good mood. What a performance. Very good.
Yeah, do you know, it's interesting, isn't it? That 3 weeks ago, we were in a real...
Yeah.
Suddenly...
That's the Welshman for you, though.
Suddenly,
he's finally come good.
The Welsh Mafia, as he does in this celebration...
Oh, my days. For podcast listeners, I apologise. Sam is doing... a W and then an M with her fingers to represent the Welsh Mafia, which I can only...
That's what they celebrate.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, the Welsh Mafia.
Who's that? Bale, Davies and...
Roden. The Welsh Mafia.
Oh my days.
That's what they call them.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder what that was.
That's what they call them.
Wow.
If you look at the Instagram
okay, wow.
post when they're about them, that's what they call them. They're the Welsh Mafia.
Wow. Listen, so contrasting emotions, guys, obviously in the FPL Family household this evening, because not only have Spurs... played very, very well and smashed Crystal Palace. But Liverpool continue with the abject performances. Really, really bad. And we'll talk about the games in a bit more detail later on. But you'll notice not only is the thumbnail Liverpool orientated, but so is the title of this YouTube video. I want to know, guys, get in the comments. Are you thinking of selling Salah now? If you've already sold him, you've done the right thing, I would suggest.
There's a lot of people that were on the... who do I sell? A lot of the chatter and the rhetoric last week was, who do I sell? Do I sell Salah? Do I sell Fernandes? And there was a lot of back and forth. I was seeing a lot of that across different social media and in the FPL conversations that I was having. If you sold Salah, it looks like you've got the right one. If you've sold Bruno...
Well, the live chat is going crazy already. He has to go. Salah, bye-bye. Get in the comments, guys, if you're still a Salah owner, and we both own
it's
him.
Sad, isn't it, though?
What are we planning to do with Salah? Super chat from Nahal. Thank you, Nahal, for the super chat. He or she has got Shaw and Adrabayo, if I've said his name correctly, the Fulham defender, on my bench. I'm crying. Well, listen, Shaw away
so
at Man City,
have.
Fulham away at Anfield.
Do you know what I saw?
Of course you're going to bench these guys. Don't beat yourself up about those sorts of decisions.
I posted a picture of Shaw on my bench on Instagram and nobody said anything other than, me too, me too, me too.
Yeah, man,
me
I'm
too,
not beating
me
myself
too,
up about Shaw.
I've benched Bruno and Luke Shaw, or I've benched Rashford and Shaw.
Absolutely.
I honestly genuinely do believe that none of us would, even if you think, go back again, would I change the decision I made?
No.
Absolutely not.
Of course I want the 14 points from Shaw coming off my bench. Of course. And it's not going to happen. But do I look back at my week and think, at any point, was that a move that I was thinking about making? And no, he was always going to be a sub for me this week. Now, a move that I was thinking of making were my transfers, and I'll come to that a bit later on, because a move that I didn't make this week,
and it would have been such a good one to have done,
has probably cost me, depends what Antonio does tomorrow, but it's probably cost me about 25 points not taking the hit this week. So we'll talk about that a bit later on. But guys, let's get into the live chat. Let's say hello to a few of you. Azzy is in. Hey, Azzy, how are we doing? He says, Salah is in the bin already. In Azzy's bin already is Mo Salah. Carrie256 is in. Salah to Bale, I think, is going to be a popular transfer this
just
week.
Remember, there's European football this
there
week.
There is. Hold so those transfers.
I was just saying in the Slack a second ago, I know it's tempting to just do it, but hold on, because Spurs are going to play full strength and so are Liverpool. So hold on.
Well, you'd expect both sides to play full strength.
They'll
yeah,
feel like they will.
You'd expect that, no doubt. Stealth Panda, Kenz hey, is Kenz. Here in with a super chat. Hey, Kenz. If someone told me Liverpool would be eighth and Fulham would do the double over us, I would call you crazy. Unfortunately, we're just utterly bad. Are yous okay? Mate, we are okay apart from that, mate. Apart from that. I'll be honest with you. Liverpool a bit really bad this season, really bad. And there's some results that I've just gone, well, right, okay, well, we're bad and let's just move on, get the next one. Like losing at home to Chelsea, you could see that happening. Chelsea are really good side on, right on form right now, very difficult to break down defensively. And I don't think there's any shame in losing to Chelsea
right now.
And don't get me wrong, Fulham are improving. They have improved. They are better recently. But I'm telling you guys, that performance today, I had a meltdown at half-time, didn't I? I had an absolute meltdown. So, full disclosure, I didn't watch the second half of the Liverpool game. I stormed off.
Because well, you turned the TV off.
I turned the TV off and I watched Jurassic Park 3 on ITV. I'm not even joking. I was annoyed with that performance of Liverpool, and we'll talk about it a bit later on. And that is why I want to focus on the Liverpool assets this week.
Yeah.
And who are you selling them for? It's not a should you sell or not. My opinion is they have to go. We were abject. It was dreadful. It was awful from Liverpool today.
It was one of those where I went upstairs to watch it by myself because I thought, you know, when Liverpool realise that they're Liverpool and they start playing again in this game, I can shout down to him to put it back on. And it just never happened. It just never happened.
Dreadful. Another super chat from Olympus L38. That's a new name on the super chat. Wow. Hey, Olympus. Very nice to see you. If it's your first time here watching us on FPL Family, don't forget that subscribe button. Hi, FPL Family, Olympus says. Never selling Bruno. The guy's a legend. Just look at Kane. Took captain off of him, then Kane to Sterling at 10:58 on Saturday. So slightly gutted. Well, listen, that is a move that, you know, listen, didn't look too bad. Sterling's got the double game week. Kane doesn't. Guys, don't beat yourself up about these decisions. City on a double game week. I don't think many people were going into this week thinking, you know, I fancy a single game week over a double game week. It's City. You're always going to captain a double game week, surely.
Yeah, I mean, and I just said this again. I said this.
And
this
it
like
still
a minute
could
ago.
Work out, by the way. They've
exactly.
got another game to go.
And I think that's the thing is, you feel a bit. So for me, looking at this now, because I did the same, except I moved my armband from Kane to Gundogan. And it was sat on Kane all week. He was my bus captain all week. And on Friday, I was like, what are you doing? If Gundogan goes mental, which let's be honest, against Southampton, he might. I didn't ever think he was going to go mental against Man United. I just didn't see that being a City go mental. But I also thought they'd win. So I thought, you know, he could go mental against Southampton. I need to captain him because I will regret not captaining a doubler a lot more than I will if Kane bangs. And also, when you look at the EO of these players across the game week...
What's the EO?
Expected ownership.
Okay, very good. Which is what?
How, basically, the percentage of people that own him and how damaging it will be to your rank,
right,
effectively.
Okay, very good.
So anybody that's under 100%, you're going to get some rank gain from. If they're like 20%, you're going to get loads. But okay. So this week it was only Gundogan in my team that was over 100%. So everyone else, for a change, I could actually support all of my players. And I think that tells you a lot about where captains' armbands went this week.
Yeah, okay.
They
very
all went
good.
To Gundogan and City players.
A couple of super chats coming in. One from Jake. Thank you, Jake, for the super chat. Sold Bruno and Maguire, but captained Kane. So very happy with the Kane captaincy. Well done, Jake. That's paid
very
off for
good.
You. Listen, mate, the Bruno and Maguire, there were plenty of people selling Bruno ahead of this week. Don't beat yourself up about that, Jake. Plenty of people were selling Bruno. And listen, get him back in. Not a big deal, mate. Not a big deal.
Just is it going to pay a bit more for him?
Going to pay you? Of course, you're going to pay a bit more. But listen, doesn't matter. Nathan
take that money
is in.
Out of Salah.
Nathan Joblin from our Slack, from our patron at Jobolov over in the Slack. He is having an absolute stormer, by the way.
I think he's into single digits now.
I think he's in the top 10 for FPL.
I think he might be in the top 10 now.
And I don't mean top 10k, folks. I mean top 10, Nathan Joblin. So say congratulations to Nathan over in the live chat if you are there. He's on live for a change. Very nice to see you, Nathan. Hey. Happy for you, Sam, and sorry, Lee. Yes, well, listen, not only have our individual teams taken a battering, Liverpool and Spurs, that's some conflicting and contrasting emotions on that front. But there is some seriously contrasting emotions on our FPL scores as well. And we'll talk about our teams a bit later on in the show. As he's in with the Super Chat, Vardy finished as a fantasy asset, has looked bad.
No Madison.
Since OP, not sure what OP means. Since his op. Okay, since his operation. Well, listen, Azzy, the last time someone said a fantasy asset was finished on this show, he's gone back and had an absolute stormer, has Harry Kane, since I've said that. And he's absolutely battered me this week as a non-owner. He has battered me, and I absolutely deserve it. There's the Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. We're also on Instagram, at FPL Family as well. What's the Instagram count right now? Closing in on 9K?
Yeah. 8:30-ish.
To be exact. Okay,
8:31, I think, the last time I checked. So, like, and that was like a minute ago when I posted some Spurs love.
Very good.
So, yeah,
right.
If you don't follow us on Instagram, I so badly want to get to 10K by the end of the season. And it's going to be close, but I don't think we're going to do it unless you all go out there and follow me on Instagram. In fact, if you could all just set up a load of Instagram accounts just to follow me, that'd be great.
Instead of fakes.
That'd be great.
Just get your follows out there. There we go, guys. So if you are on Instagram and you're not following at FPL Family, we'd love you to go over to IG, to the gram.
To the gram. Say, down with the gram. Kids.
And follow us over there. Super chat from Liam Healy, one of our patrons. Hey Liam, how are we doing? Evening, Lee and Sam. Did Bruno to Son this week? Listen, mate, plenty did. Don't beat yourself up about that at all. More to the point, how did Bristol City get on? Not good, I think so.
We checked, didn't we?
Not good, I don't think. Bristol City...
We were following it.
Our adopted championship club not doing that well
come on, Bristol.
This week. So come on, Bristol City. What are they called? What's their nickname? Come on the...
We looked this up as well. We didn't know. We can't remember now.
Sorry, Liam, I don't know. He'll tell us
We genuinely are looking out for Bristol City now. For their results every week.
We are. So let's get on with the game, Sam. Before we get on with the games, I do want to give a massive, massive shout out to Mr. Jeff Willis, our manager of the month for February. Congratulations, Jeff. Long-term follower of our stuff on Patreon and on YouTube. A guy that we've met as well.
Nicest people I've met. When
we did one of our meetups, which, oh my goodness me, seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? When we were all able to meet up in London, etc. And we went to one of the Who Got The Assist meetups. We met with Jeff. We've met him, lovely guy, long-term patron of FPL Family, and he is the February Manager Month, so we're absolutely delighted, Jeff. Got a cracking score last game week, by the way.
Unbelievable.
Over 110 points, I think it was. Ridiculous score. Finishes February with a score of 451. So, Jeff, well done, mate. Fair play. I think he's been in touch already with you. We're going to get in touch with you, Jeff. Let us know when you want to come and do a video with us,
Send
what your prize is going
to
be.
I don't know what he wants, but he can have a Kane shirt. Regardless.
Just have Kane.
Or just have Bale.
Just go for Kane or Bale.
He gets to choose his own.
He's in the live chat. Jeff,
there he is.
Jeff, he's in the live
Doesn't
chat.
Doesn't want a Harry Kane.
There he is. Jeff, let us know. Do you want a signed Harry Kane shirt? I would suggest not.
Although
I don't know his team allegiance, actually. I don't know his team allegiance. Jeff will tell us, I'm absolutely sure, in the live chat. So well done, Jeff. Winner of this month's Manager of the Month, FPL Family Manager of the Month. Prize. So there we go. So Jeff wins not only a slot on an FPL Family YouTube video, but he also wins some memorabilia like this of his choice. And we've had previous winners that have chosen some Liverpool and Spurs stuff. Yes, absolutely. But you don't have to have just that. Of course, there's loads of other stuff on our sponsors, Kicking the Balls with two S's.com. Links in all the descriptions below. There's a discount code down there as well, so you can use FPL 10%, I think it is.
FPL 10%.
If you use that as a discount code, you get 10% off your order at kickingtheballs.com. Everything's in the description below, so go and have a look at that. But you can see previous winners have had signed Laudrup shirts. There's Bryce with his his Manchester United treble 99 shirt. We've got Kane there, we've got some Invincibles, so Arsenal, I think Jason Ryan got the Arsenal one from a few weeks back. So, listen, loads and loads of good stuff over there. Go on.
Also get a certificate from Prince Works.
Oh yes, of course, yes.
If you don't follow them, they're also, another reason to go to Instagram, Prince Works also available over on Instagram. If you run your own mini leagues, they make really, really lovely certificates. They're basically like the mini league printouts, effectively, so they put the mini league month or the competition month or golf scorecards or whatever you want into a certificate form. So if you can come first, second and third in our Manager of the Month competition, then we also send you one of those. So, guys, I will be in touch about those.
Very good. Jeff says he's a Chelsea fan, Sam. So, thanks, but no thanks on the Kane. Oh. He's going to go for something from the Blues.
I mean, he could have... Who's played for both?
Not many. Rack your brains. And Liam says, it's the Robins, Sam. Come on, the Robins.
Oh, it is the Robins.
Come on, the Robins. Yeah, there we go. Is. And if you do want to join us over on Patreon, that's not the screen I was looking for. It's that one.
Do you know what?
Say again.
I knew he was a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, something in my mind was like, yeah, Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea.
But there we go. So he doesn't want a Kane, Sam. Going to go for Chelsea. Nah, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. If you do want to support us over on patreon.com/FPL family, the start of a month is a good time to do it. Now, Sam, the Manager of the Month competition for March is only, wait for this, 3 game weeks long.
Oh, international
only
break.
Only 3 game weeks in March. So it's going to be a quick fire Manager of the Month. So it doesn't matter how bad a week you've had, how bad a season you've had, guys. We start every month from zero, from scratch. You enter your team, you tell me your team ID, I track it offline, and I produce a little spreadsheet and little update via Patreon as to who's doing what and who's doing well each week. So it's a three-game week competition in March. So it's a really good time to go check us out, patreon.com/FPL family. Have a look over there. If you want to go and just join us at the $3 Ohana tier, just some bonus podcasts, access to Slack, just say thanks for, you know, the content that we produce, that sort of thing. Then have a look at the Ohana tier. If you want to take part in the Manager of the Month competitions, have a look at the $5 Manager of the Month tier. And if you want to get involved at the $10 tier and have one-to-one sessions with us about your FPL team, I would suggest after this week that probably a one-to-one with Sam is probably a bit more value for money than a one-to-one with me.
Actually, I have got one booked in for game week 30 already.
I'm not surprised. No one wants to talk to me at the moment, and I'm not surprised because it's really not going that well this week. Really not good at all. So there we go. That is the Manager of the Month. Well done again to Mr. Jeff Willis, our Manager of the Month for February. Absolutely sensational. Right, Sam, let's get into some of these games. And before we do, somebody said I've missed a super chat up here, so I'm going to scroll back a little bit. Ah, I did. Mahmood. Thank you, Mahmood, for the super chat. Chuffed as a United fan. As well you should be, sir. Yeah. As well you should be. Initially, it was Kane plus Bale, but went with Kane plus Son. I thought Bale rested for the Europa League, Sam. Is Bale now nailed on to start? Is Bale nailed? Is what Mahmood would like to know.
So I think...
Depends on your definition of nail, doesn't it?
I think what will happen between now and pretty much the end of the season is that we will play a full-strength team every single game. And therefore, Bale will play around 60 to 70 minutes every single game.
Okay.
Now, if he does what he did today, that's absolutely fine. And in fact, that's 6-6 for Bale now, in terms of in all competitions.
Okay.
So, yes, I think he is nailed. The one thing that I'm a little bit wary of is that he is only just coming back to full fitness. So there's always that element of kind of like, can he continue at this pace without breaking something else? But it doesn't seem like he was injured going for a lot of the season. It just seems like he wasn't really up to full speed,
yeah.
Which he is now.
It feels, like he's had a 5-month pre-season. And at a time of the year when everyone else is, let's face it, fading,
yep.
We've had some... No, let's be blunt. Some of the football this weekend has been poor, hasn't it? It's been low quality football, yeah. In my opinion.
They've played a lot of games.
There's some teams that have played very well. Manchester United fans, forgive me, and Spurs, obviously, of course. But there's been some poor football. And I think a season is starting to peter out a little bit. At a time when Bale's coming in with, well, I've just had 5 months to get up to speed. Bang, I'm on form and I'm the one ready to go now. Playing against these out of form, tired, inverted commas, teams. So talk me through the game itself then. 4-1. Although 1-0 at half time, so great second half performance from Spurs, right?
Oh, we did try and be Spursy as usual. Scored the first, did try and play on and push for a second, which I was pleased with.
Yeah.
But then let Crystal Palace come back into it again to score. And that's the difficult thing with owning a Spurs defender, I think. And it's what always puts me off. I think we do seem to be settling into a centre-back pairing now with Toby and with Sanchez rather than Dier. So if you're on the Dier bandwagon... He does seem to be the one that's losing out at the moment. So probably from an FPL point of view, you need to reconsider that, which is annoying if you've got him thinking ahead to 29, of course.
Yes.
But I'm not convinced he'll play, and that's the issue. And there will be rotation at the back as well. That's the other thing, because they are the positions where we can rotate, that we have the scope to do that there. But Spurs played incredibly well. Bale was instrumental in that. He was absolutely phenomenal again.
So does he come into your team then? Because you've got Kane and Son already. Is it overkill to have all three?
No, I don't think it is anymore.
Wow.
Because
okay,
I think the reality is, so you didn't watch all of it with me because you were setting up, but you came in and said, has Son been any part of this game? And the answer was yes, he has. Mm. He absolutely has. He played really well. He made some good runs. He was in the right places. But I think at the moment, people know how to play against Son in the Premier League. So they are sort of marking him a bit more closely, whereas Bale was just getting a bit more space and he was maybe just a second quicker off the mark.
Okay.
But I think that there is definitely scope for owning all three of them. The question is whether you do it. And I was saying on the Slack before I came on here, just wait, because we will be playing full strength in Europe. Then we've got to play again in the derby at the weekend. Then, of course, we play in 29 when, you know, we play Villa, that's a difficult game. Then we've got Europa League commitments again. So it's all coming very thick and fast. And we do obviously need to protect some of these players because we've also got the League Cup final coming up quick and fast now. And we're
that's
gonna
not usually Mourinho's style, though, is it? When he
What's
finds
that?
A player in form, he doesn't... Okay, might bring Bale off a little bit earlier because
that's
of his history of injuries, but... I don't think we're going to see much rotation for the likes of Son and Kane.
Son, Kane,
that's
Bale.
Not Mourinho's style. It's like, I will flog you until we win something.
Yeah, Son, Kane and Bale, I think, and Højbjerg, but you're not going to go from him as an FPL perspective.
No.
But those guys are pretty much, I would say, now locked in. They're the ones that are going to play every time.
All right, Tips is in. Hey, Tips, how are we doing? He's saying, Sam, actually, Reguilón looked lively today. Love him.
Good.
And credit to Lucas Moura today. Really solid performance. So... all round, good performances from Spurs as a team.
I like that from Moura today because he's been a little bit rotated lately because obviously Dele took his place for one game. He's been being hauled off for Lamella for other games. Lamella started ahead of him in some games. And I really like the fact that Moura stood up today and was like, here's my mark in the sand.
Nothing wrong with that.
I also noticed that today Son and Kane became the Premier League record holders for the most goal combinations.
Is that right?
So they now, in one season, yes, yeah, so they were already like way up there
that
anyway.
That was a record waiting to be broken,
but
yeah.
Yeah, so they've now got 14 in one season, which is unbelievable techers from them. So yeah, I think from a Spurs point of view, if you want to go with all three, I definitely wouldn't be putting you off of that. It's definitely something that I think I am going to do. Because let's be frank, I can't go a whole season not owning Gareth Bale, can I? Look at the form that he is in. And if we don't sign Mr. Levy, put your hand in your pocket.
I think the other thing with it is that, you know, you're looking at it and going, right, well, a lot of us were looking at our midfields and saying, well, I'd love to have a Bale, I'd love to have a Son, but I haven't got a slot anymore. Where do I put him? I've got Gundogan and I've got maybe a Rafinha, I've got Souček in there, I've got Salah and Fernandes, and I've got all these players. Well, you know, Salah is looking very much an out now. And I can see Salah to Bale being a very, very popular transfer. Particularly if you want to play your wild card in game week 30-31. If, for whatever reason, form turns on its head, maybe, you know, fingers crossed, touch wood, it doesn't happen. But if Bale picks up an injury, which could happen, let's face it, the way that he plays. Or maybe, you know, for some reason Salah finds some form. Then you've got the wild card to go, okay, well, I've made a mistake there. But for the next couple of weeks... feels a bit like a no-brainer because not only are Spurs fixtures better, but there's also more of them because you play one in 29 and Salah doesn't.
Yeah, I think the only thing that puts me off somewhat, but it's weeks ahead, is game week 33 because, of course, neither Spurs nor Man City will play in that, nor will Southampton or Fulham. So, of course, if you own three cities, which a lot of people do, and you top them up with three Spurs, and you're probably going to have a Fulham if you're wildcarding around game week 30-31, suddenly you've got half a team missing for 33.
Okay, fair
so
point.
Just keep that in mind. It's not a problem for now because we're in 27, but it's something to be aware of. And I think the other thing is, a lot of people thinking about doing it now, there is no doubt in my mind that Bale takes a price rise between now and Thursday when we play in the Europa League. But if you're going down from Salah, you do not need to make that transfer. You can take the hit.
Is your advice to suck it up that
Just
point
wait.
One. All right.
Us in the Europa League, Mourinho's going full strength in the Europa League. Just make sure he makes it through.
Right, okay. A super chat from Gaurav. Thank you, Gaurav, for the super chat. Bale in, Salah out this week. Yes, I do think that's going to be a popular transfer. Or roll the transfer to 29. He's sitting at 11k, by the way, Gaurav. Very good season. So looking to break into the Holy Land, the top 10k. Arsenal away versus Wolves away. So what are you thinking? Should Gaurav roll the transfer going to 29 or is Bale in, Salah out? Would you advocate that? It sounds like you would, but just hold on until Spurs have played that Europa League fixture to make sure that Bale's healthy enough to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the transfer that I'm looking at this week. I think, you know, you're going to likely do it anyway because Salah doesn't play in 29, whereas Bale does. On paper, you'd want Salah versus Wolves over Bale versus Arsenal, particularly if you've already got Kane and Son as well. It feels like a lot going into that North London derby. But the change in the Europa League means Spurs play at home on Thursday night, whereas Arsenal have got to travel. So Arsenal haven't exactly been solid defensively.
I think you've got a nice fixture, haven't you? You've got Dinamo.
Zagreb, yeah.
I think you'd be all right in that.
And it's at home.
I don't see that being a difficult fixture.
It's at home, so hopefully you can bring them off early if we can get ahead.
Yeah.
And Liverpool, well, let's talk about them in a minute because their form is just awful. So it's hard to keep them even against Wolves.
Right, let's discuss the Manchester derby then. Manchester City 0, Manchester United 2. And to be honest with you, another game that left me fuming because I'm sitting there with double Man City defence, as a lot of you guys will have done. And all week I'm thinking, well, wouldn't both teams be happy with a 0-0 there? That would be, both teams could possibly go for that. And the way that United were set up, I thought they were set up in the same way that they always set up against the big sides, which is to frustrate. And then Gabriel Jesus goes and trips, I think it was Martial.
Yeah.
Within 50 seconds. And then Bruno, who
that's what
we'll
Bruno
come
does.
To a bit later on, is sitting on my bench, wipes out my two Man City clean sheets. It was the worst possible start. It was absolutely the worst thing that could have happened in that game.
It was another rage moment for you.
It was, and I just raged off and I just didn't watch the rest of the first half. And then I came back and then Shaw scored and he's on my bench. I was like, oh, I was just like, give over. This is absolutely horrendous. So is it one of those where, is it a don't doubt Bruno Fernandes? I mean, it's Bruno. You play him. Stop messing about, Lee, and putting him on the bench. It's ridiculous.
Thing is, so we spoke quite a lot about Bruno this week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, off camera and, you know, just when we're chatting about FPL as we do.
Did you ever consider selling Bruno this week?
No.
See, I never considered selling him, I must admit.
But I never considered benching him either.
No, I know.
Because my opinion on this is, it's the same as owning Salah. If you're going to pick and own a premium asset like those guys, you can't bench them regardless of the fixture, is my view.
Sure.
Now, we looked at your team and you said, well, who would you play instead? And I looked at them and was like, yeah, that's tough. Because actually, the way your team was set out, I looked at them and thought, there's no one else that I would want to bench.
But equally, I look at my team now, and we'll obviously come to my team later on, and I'm like, why are you playing Ollie Watkins over Bruno Fernandes? Why are you playing, I don't know, Bamford over Bruno Fernandes? I look back and I think, what are you doing? Watkins or Fernandes? You play Bruno, you idiot. What are you doing? But at the time, I'm like, well, Watkins had come in for me the kind of last week or the week before. I thought, well, he's got some nice fixtures. He also plays in 29. So I'm going to play him home to Wolves. That looks like a reasonable fixture.
I think the thing with Bruno is that he hasn't been that... So with Salah,
he's not been great, has he? Yeah.
Well, he hasn't been great, but he's also not been that bad. Whereas Salah's been bad. Like, that's the thing, I think, with the two of them. Like, Salah's getting hauled off last week. Like, he's been bad.
Yeah.
So the people selling Salah, I get it. Like, I got that. I could see why. I toyed with the idea of it, but the fixture put me off. But with Bruno, he's got that in his locker. You just know that if there's a penalty, he's going to be part of it. You know that if Manchester United score a goal, likely he's part of
it. Well, that is absolutely what Scott Schrager, hey Scott, that's what he's saying in the live chat. Manu always has a chance for a penalty, especially lately, the way the refereeing's going in the league right
now.
Anything can happen, frankly. And, you know, there is a chance that Fernandes is going to get the penalty, so you'd play him on that basis. As he then suggests, well, Watkins, to be fair, loves the bit of beans on toast, and he does. He hit the woodwork a lot.
What is wrong with him? Why am I back on Watkins?
I don't know.
Hate myself.
I don't know why I've got him in the team. He's useless. Every time I watch him, I just think,
I want to take him out.
Why is he so highly rated? I don't know. Anyway, Man City 0, Manchester United 2. Is there any panic around Man City now? Is there any panic? They've got another game, right, by the way. So they've got Southampton at home coming up as well.
As in, should we panic about owning them?
Well, should we panic about having them? Yeah, because they've got no game in 29. Are they now in kind of, we're going to coast the league mode? Or are they going to have, I don't know, a Kevin Keegan Newcastle mid-90s star meltdown where they lose their lead to Manchester United? I don't know. Can you imagine Pep with a love it if we beat them? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
We're going to do a Spursy. They're going to go all Spursy, are they?
I can't see it.
I don't think so. I think it was funny because
I was in the Slack quite a lot today, and one of the guys put in there, I bet Sam loved that, because I don't have the double up at the back, and it's still something I point blank refuse to do, because they do this. They concede the odd goal, and it's really blimmin' annoying.
Or the odd two, as the case may be today.
But I'm looking at my Manchester City boys and thinking, I don't think I'll ever sell Diaz. I can't see it. He is too good in terms of, you know, if they get clean sheets and they don't score a lot, which they aren't scoring a lot of the time.
True, yeah.
He's going to get there for bonuses because he always is there or thereabouts. I thought Cancelo had a particularly bad game today.
Yeah.
He got hauled off, I noticed. Now, probably bodes well for the Southampton game that he got taken off.
Do you think the Gundogan ship has sailed? There are a few people saying that in the live chat. Gundogan, has he just had his moment in the limelight now?
Well, who was it that I did the pod with all those months ago? Was it Duncan? I can't remember who it was now, but somebody I did the pod with rolled out a stat about how the most Gundogan had ever got in a season was 6, and don't get lulled in. And of course, he's been phenomenal this season.
Been great, yeah.
He's been phenomenal, but I do wonder whether we are getting to this point of the season where Pep is... He's got to make some decisions, hasn't he? Because in theory, they should be comfortable in the league. Well, they should have been if they'd have got something out of this today. So he should be able to start spreading his wealth across trying to win it on all fronts, because obviously they're still in everything.
Sure,
League Cup, that's not theirs, that's ours. The FA Cup, etc., etc., etc. But I do feel like Gundogan is less effective at the moment. When I watched that game today, he was getting into less exciting areas. There were a couple of opportunities that he had, but he wasn't... Every time he got the ball in the pass, I thought... He was looking dangerous, whereas I'm not necessarily seeing that today.
The thing with him is, at his price, you can forgive him, can't you? You look at that game and you think, okay, well, all right, no points, but okay, I'll forgive him because of his price. But if you're on a KDB or you're on a Raheem Sterling, that's difficult to forgive, isn't it?
Well,
or is it not? Because you've got so much money knocking around in FPL right now, you're kind of okay with it anyway, aren't you?
No, it is. Because I don't think it's about the money anymore, though, this season, is it? Because you're going to have a load of money if you sell Salah. So it's not really about the money. It's about the fact that they take up a position. Now, at this point in the season, we have got some other guys who aren't necessarily premium. Take Barrow as an example of that. Even Aubameyang, who scored this week. There are so many other players who are just ticking over those points nicely, regularly points. So it gets to a stage where you kind of think, Raheem Sterling, I just don't think you can own him anymore.
Okay.
So wasteful. Right.
Another player, Johnny Pilkington, we'll get to Manchester United in just a second, but Johnny Pilkington saying, a bit concerned for Foden as well, if you're still a Foden owner, 3 games without a start, what's gone wrong? Because when he came on, actually looked all right, but you can't back him in FPL, can you? You can't back him, but players you can back are Manchester United. Now, despite the fact they haven't got a game week 29, what are we going to do about Manchester United is a question I'm going to ask you in just a second. Olympus L83 is in with another super chat. Thank you, Olympus. Given the Pep roulette and the price, Gundogan is probably still City's best asset. I'm full agreement with that. I'm full agreement with that.
I look at
my team right now and I think I've got to sort out the weakest link, if you like. And Gundogan is not the weakest link. There's other links in there, very expensive Egyptian links that I need to sort out. But I agree with what you said there, Olympus. I think you're okay. He's still their best City asset, I think, in terms of value. I think. Talk to me about Manchester United then. You own Shaw and Fernandes. I doubt if we're going to add to either of those two, given that there is no game in 29. But they're fixtures after 29. So say you're coming into 30, 31 and you're going to play the wild card, which I think both of us are planning to do. You're probably going to be on Fernandes because it's Fernandes, and we've all had. Well, I certainly have been stung by, you know, what happens when you don't have him in your team on your bench, and Sellers have been stung this week by not having him. So you're probably still going to have him, but who else would you look at, or would you not, on the wild card?
Fixtures are awful.
They do have some very tough games, don't they? They do.
Now,
no doubt about it.
So up until today, at about 5 o'clock, 5:30, I was like, I'm going to sell Shaw. So that was my plan. My plan going into game week 29 was to hold Bruno because I got money tied in him and I wanted him.
Just bench him.
So just bench him for the week. He'd be fine. I can stay afterwards. Because of what happened. Because what happened today can regularly happen with Bruno. They get a goal from nothing and he's
involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With Shaw, it was difficult because I looked at the fixtures and thought, do I see clean sheets? Not necessarily. Can Luke Shaw punish with attacking returns? Yes. Was he unlucky not to get a brace today? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would have actually died. But I genuinely would have. I was so annoyed. But I think it's tough now because on paper, you want to own players for this final part of the season who are in a race, top or bottom, or Europe, don't matter, but a race. You want to own players with nice fixtures, with some attacking potential as well as defensive stability.
Yeah.
And for
he's
me,
been very creative, Shaw, at the minute. I mean, I know he scored today, but his creativity over the last four or five is incredible.
Yeah. So he hits a couple of those, Luke Shaw. He hits the creativity and he hits the have something to fight for bracket. I'm not sure the defensive stuff is there, but equally, hasn't Hendo got a point to prove? For the next 3 weeks, he's going to be their goalkeeper.
Sure,
because De Gea's tied up in quarantine because of the new baby. So he will be playing until the end of the month, well, until international break. Now,
he's going to make his case, isn't he?
Henderson's got to make his case for United starts, but more than that, for England starts.
Mm.
So suddenly, I'm thinking with Luke Shaw, well, you've got a goalkeeper behind you. No offence to David De Gea, but you've got a defender, a goalkeeper behind you with real point to prove.
Yes.
An attacking defender who looks phenomenal going forwards. It is very hard to sell somebody like that, even when the fixtures are bad.
It is. No,
so I'm probably
going
to hold him. But if I owned another Manchester United defender, if I owned Maguire or Bissaka, I'd sell them.
All right. Okay, Dread FPL's in the live chat. He's saying De Gea won't get his place back.
Not if he plays like that today. So, Hendo was great.
Hendo played well. No doubt about it. Where should we go next? Let's talk about the game at Anfield because I need to get it off my chest. It was bloody awful, to be honest with you. It was bloody awful. And when I saw that team that Klopp put out, when I saw the team sheet, I just thought, well, okay, Robertson at the back, okay. Not been great recently, but okay. No Trent, he played Nico Williams. He played Reece Williams in the middle. We put Nat Phillips in there with him. No Fabinho. He's rested. Is it a rest or is it a drop? I don't know, but it's Fabinho, it's Mane. Thiago goes out of the game as well. All of a sudden, he's playing players like Keita.
Thiago deserves it.
And he's got Shaqiri in there. He's just like, this is past a Carabao Cup team now. I don't know whether the shape even changed a bit as well, because he played Jota and Salah almost as a front two, almost. I genuinely don't know whether it was Klopp looking at it and going, right, well, it's been so bad recently, we've got to change something. So let's change the personnel and see if any of these guys that come in can prove a point and say, right, boss, I'm going to have a good game. I'm going to stand up and be counted because I want to be in this first 11. Well, none of them did that. But also, there were so many changes that it was just there was no cohesion. And you could say that there was no cohesion beforehand anyway, so okay, he's got to change, he's got to do something. Now listen, I'm not for a minute saying that Fulham didn't deserve the win today, because they did. They were good. They have improved recently, particularly defensively, and they were very, very good. And they were very energetic, very dynamic, and if they play like that for the rest of the season, they'll be up. No problem about it. They're a very, very good side at the moment. So, I losing at home to this Fulham side, I'm not surprised, because they're a good side right now. But Liverpool were absolutely terrible, guys. Let me tell you, absolutely terrible. I've watched a lot of Liverpool being very, very good last season. I've watched a lot of Liverpool being absolute dross this season. And there's some games where you can forgive it. Some games where we've been a bit unlucky. We've had marginal VAR calls. We've had a lot of injuries. All right, all those sob stories. I am sweeping the board clean of all of those excuses today. All of them. You cannot blame the injuries. You cannot blame the VAR. You cannot blame the referee. There is nothing to blame today, because the performance was absolutely awful. There was no desire. There was no work rate. There was no cohesion. They weren't working as a team. And the one player that came out of it with any credit, in my opinion, was Milner. But that is because Milner comes out of every game with credit, because whatever team he plays, wherever he plays, he will put a shift in. But there was players out there today that didn't give a damn. And that was what was really, really wrong today and has been over the last few weeks, is the attitude is bad. So there we go. It's off my chest. What's your view as a fairly neutral looking at this game?
I thought Jota played quite well. For the second game since he's come back, I thought he played quite well. But the problem he's got is that he can't do it by himself.
It's all right, him running around and pressing, but the other two aren't. Right?
And he was. And he was doing what Klopp was getting them all to do last year. So you could see the Klopp mentality in Jota today. But it was almost like the rest of them had just gone, well, we can't win the league, so what the hell's the point? That's how it felt watching that second half today.
So here's another super chat from Stealth Panda. Thank you, Kens, for the super chat. Only Klopp can explain that team, because I was shell-shocked, to be honest. Lethargic, no intensity, no ideas, just awful. And it's been like that every week for 3 months. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kens. It's really not good at the minute. It's really not good. And the team did shock me, no doubt about it. But I look at the front three and how they've performed in recent weeks, and I don't blame Klopp for trying something different. It couldn't have got much worse than it has been with those three. And I don't know whether all three of them, you know, the Salah, Mane and Firmino triumvirate, I don't know whether they are just coming to a point in their careers, because they're all, I mean, what are they now? I think Bobby is going to be 31, I think I heard.
Salah's 28.
Salah's 29 coming up. I think Mane might be 29 as well. I wonder whether they're looking at it and going, right, we won the league last year, won the Champions League the year before. This year, we've been in it off because we want a big move. And I wonder whether they see this summer as their chance to have their last big move of their career. Particularly the likes of Bobby Firmino, particularly the likes of Salah. By the way, I think Salah's going in the summer. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. He's gone. I don't know whether Mane is going to go. I think Bobby could go as well, but Salah is a transfer. Just waiting to happen, to be honest with you. The only reason he won't go is because people won't be able to afford him. We'll put a massive price tag on him, potentially. I don't know. But all three of them, I think, have got to a point in their career where they're like, we want to move. We're waiting for this big move. It's just not happening for him at the minute.
The problem is that they showed Klopp at the end of the game. Well, by about 6 or 7 minutes before the end, he looked exasperated.
Yeah.
He was on the touchline. Honestly, he looked like he was close to tears. He looked like he didn't know what to do anymore. And that's what that team felt like today. Mm. It felt like somebody who was like, I actually don't
know what to
do with you. We're
out of ideas.
I'm just going to play these guys and hope that they've got some ounce of desire in them to play for the club.
Yeah.
My honest view, and I said this to you a couple of nights ago, or maybe last week, was that Klopp, at the moment, reminds me of Poch. It makes me quite sad, because he reminds me of Poch just before we fired him. Because, like, he lost the club. He's just lost them.
A lot of people on Twitter and in Slack saying that this is, you know,
this is the end of him,
I think. He was like this at the end of Dortmund. He was like this.
It very much reminds me, and I remember when Poch got fired, feeling, well, you'll all remember, you were with me, going through the emotions of it. But you feel, I was very sad because I loved him, but it was the right thing for the club at the time. And I fear that what Liverpool need now is a change. I think Klopp has taken you where he can go. He's lost the players. Whether that's his fault or not, whether it's the players want to move or whatever, but something's wrong. And as a result of that, you can't own him in FPL right now.
Okay. I think that's absolutely right in FPL. Yeah. I think you're wrong about Klopp. I still think Klopp is the right man. I just think he's got players that are not motivated correctly right now. And I think if you can, there is going to be a bit of a rebuild in the summer, I think. We're going to have some players coming in, I think, and I hope. Some more players with that, you know, yachters mentality that we saw today. You know, I want to win this Premier League, you know, rather than I've won it already and I want to go and win La Liga or something else, right? Plus 60,000 fans come August, you know, plus a proper pre-season. I still think Klopp is the right man for the job, but let's see. But in FPL, yes, I think the answer to the question in the title of this YouTube video is it time for Mo to go? Well, I think it absolutely is. I think it absolutely is. And I've had Robertson. This week was his last week. I was going to sell him next week anyway, but I thought, well, home to Fulham, I might as well just keep him. Now, the transfer that I could have made this week, and I did talk about earlier in the week, and I think I went on Ohana on Friday to the patrons and said, the move that I'm considering for a -4 is Dominic Calvert-Lewin out to Harry Kane. And that would leave me, and I'd get the funding to do that from Robertson down to a 4.2. And the 4.2 I had my eye on was Lascelles, who also got a clean sheet today. So actually could have been looking at something like 25 points from those two. And instead, I got put off by doing the -4 and just did DCL to Antonio. So that is a big decision that I've got wrong this season, no doubt about it.
Unless Antonio bangs tomorrow.
Antonio could do well, no doubt about it, yeah. But he's unlikely to get 25 points, isn't he?
Yeah.
So let's see. That's a decision that has just not gone in my favour this week in particular. But never mind. But from that perspective, Robbo's got to go. I think my two transfers this week will be Salah and Robbo, I think.
So, okay. So, Robbo, Salah presumably what you think... Because you only have Son.
Yeah.
So, are you thinking about another Spurs player?
I'll probably be Bale for Salah, yeah, probably.
And where will you go with Robbo? Because you can go anywhere then.
I don't know. Someone from game week from 29, right? Villa defender or Newcastle defender, probably.
Of course, because you don't have a
Villa defender. So, a Villa defender's probably the way to go, but... yeah, lots to be discussed around that. But either way, my two Liverpool assets will go because...
I'm thinking about Aubameyang.
It's... I am considering him. Yeah, I am considering him. Because, well, he's so low-owned, isn't he? And he still can do well.
Scored?
He got 20-pointed, didn't he, the other week? But, yeah, so I am considering him as well. But either way, my Liverpool assets are going. No doubt about it. They're going. So that's that game. Actually, we shouldn't skip over Fulham. We shouldn't skip over Fulham. Because they do play in 29, and they are hitting some form right now.
Yeah. Andrew Yee messaged me on Instagram, and he said, it's funny, isn't it? Because when you... when you're thinking about a wildcard team for game week 30-31, when you look at the scout fixture ticker and Liverpool sit pretty at the top when you roll it forwards till the end of the season,
yeah,
the last thing you would be thinking of in a wildcard is not thinking about Liverpool, but instead thinking about Fulham. Because I thought Anderson, in particular, was absolutely phenomenal.
He has made
today.
A massive difference to them, hasn't he?
He was
huge.
That second half... he was everywhere. Any opportunity that Liverpool had, Anderson was there.
He was very good.
He was everywhere. Goalkeeper looks like a great option.
I like his partner as well. Anderson's partner at the back there, I struggled with.
Adi Rabiola, I always
struggle with his name, right? But he's second amongst defenders for BPS this game week with 36, only second to Townsend from West Brom. So he's, again, right up there, having another good game.
Amadja had another good game as
really
well.
Good. Yeah,
so
really good.
I think there's plenty of options. Of course, there's, you know, the obvious choices. There's Lookman, if you want to go obvious. But I think there's, any Fulham player is a differential, right? So
yeah.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with doubling up on Fulham. The only thing to consider, of course, is if you get Fulham in game week 30-31, they will blank in 33 because they're due to play... Manchester City in that game week.
Right, okay.
And therefore, if you're tripling on Spurs, doubling on City, or tripling on City, and then getting some Fulham in problems.
All right, okay. Super chat from Yogesh. Thank you, Yogesh, for the super chat. If Liverpool don't play in the Champions League, would it help them focus on EPL? I don't know whether that's a question for this season or for next, Yogesh. If it's a question for this season, the focus is gone from the Premier League. Forget that. The team, the guys, the manager are not focused on the Premier League. If it's a question for next season, maybe.
Last time, didn't it?
But I would, you know, it would pain me not to be in the Champions League. I'll be honest with you, I love that competition. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go back to Saturday and talk about a couple of games there. Where do you want to go? Burnley 1, Arsenal 1? I mean, heaven knows how Arsenal didn't win that game. Because especially
know.
There was a chance, particularly at the end, where, well, two chances, weren't there? There was the one that came off of the defender's shoulder.
Yeah.
Where the ref was just like, right, bang. You're definitely a red and a pen, definitely. And VAR actually spared Andre Mariner, the referee's blushes. Because, in actual fact, there was a case of VAR... getting it absolutely right, yeah. And I'm afraid to say another really good example of the referee getting it very wrong.
Totally.
Although what did happen very fast, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, so he used the technology correctly there, in my opinion. And then Arsenal went on to, you know, a barrage of attempts, one that went off the bar in like the 92nd minute.
Two blocks, two off the post.
Crazy,
in like
wasn't
2 minutes?
Absolutely crazy. But nevertheless, so Arsenal assets, they do play in game week 29. You just said to me, you asked me the Aubameyang question a second ago, and I'm saying I am considering him. Are you considering Aubameyang? Anybody else from Arsenal that you could be looking at?
I think it's hard with the defenders because they do have this stupid mistake in them, which we saw for the Burnley goal this time around.
Xhaka, what is he on about there, Xhaka?
There's just
seriously.
But you always feel a bit like with Spurs that there's a stupid mistake in somebody.
I've read some stats somewhere about Xhaka's errors that have led to goals. He's like higher than any other Premier League player by like some distance. He's a shocker.
And you feel like that's always the case with Arsenal. You do feel like defensively they're not that solid. So I don't think that I will be looking at a defender. But, you know, I think Aubameyang, he's going to be a great differential for game week 29. I think Saka potentially is another one that still kind of stays there and thereabouts. I'm always quite impressed by Saka whenever I watch them.
Well, interestingly, I saw Saka was third. If you go and look at the members area on Fantasy Football Scout, if you're not a member of Fantasy Football Scout yet, links in the description below. Go check that out. Saka was third for XG underachievers with 0.85. So what does that mean in real language? That means he was unlucky not to get more points this week. He's in the right areas doing the right things.
The only one I definitely wouldn't be going to is Pepe, who is now working
off the bar. Come on.
He was useless.
He also had one where he did a complete swing and a miss, didn't he? It rolled across the 6-yard box.
I don't get the hype.
All he's got to do is just put it in the net, and he's just complete swing and a miss. He's honestly terrible. He's honestly terrible. But I am looking at having a look at Arsenal. I think the obvious move is to Spurs assets based on what we've seen today. I think that's the obvious move. But I think Arsenal are just bubbling under, and actually their game is West Ham away for game week 29, which is not easy. But then they come out of that into Liverpool, Sheffield United, and Fulham.
But so again,
if you haven't got the wild card, not a bad team to have a look at 4/29, no. Knowing that they come out of it into some reasonable fixtures, and I'm counting Liverpool home as one of those good fixtures, guys. I honestly am. Burnley, for their part, I don't think any of us are looking at Burnley right now, again, because of the blank. But again, they play Southampton and Newcastle after the blank. So if you've got Pope, is that a concern?
I sold him.
You've sold him for Martinez, haven't you?
Which finally.
It feels like a good transfer to make.
I just don't trust Burnley. And then Charlie Taylor went and got injured again in this game. They're just not keeping enough clean sheets for my liking. And Pope is more expensive than Martinez. And Martinez plays in game week 29.
It was a more adventurous Burnley again against Arsenal, wasn't it?
Three games in a row.
In the same way that we saw them be like over adventurous against Spurs and get battered.
Yeah.
They kind of played a bit more adventurous against Arsenal here and could have and maybe should have lost the game based on the chances Arsenal had in that game. I'm a bit concerned as someone that's invested in the Burnley defence with Pope that this new adventurous Burnley is going to see them concede more goals.
Well, it will.
It's going to happen, isn't it? It's going to happen. Let's move on. We've got to rattle through the rest of these games, to be honest with you. Aston Villa 0, Wolves 0. Another goal that led a charmed life. I genuinely can't work out how Wolves didn't score, particularly in that second half. The first half, absolute no shock to anybody that a Wolves game gets to half-time and it's 0-0. But then the second half, a couple of glaring misses, and one in particular, fantastic save from Emi Martinez, which probably did deserve the couple of bonus points that it got him from Connor Cody, I think it was, wasn't it?
Dropped all of his bonus points, didn't he, pretty much?
Who, Martinez?
And he got 7 in the end.
Oh, goodness me. Well, listen, Martinez still looks for it. In a game where he didn't have that much to do, frankly, I thought the defence were better. I mean, look at Konsa had a really good game, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did.
Martinez fields a couple of shots again and gets bonus points.
They seem to have learnt how to play without cash. So that was the thing with their defence before, was that defensively they were really missing him while he was injured.
Yeah.
But now they seem to have... El Mohammedi is playing a lot better in that position, and now they seem to be a lot more stable at the back. Martinez had another good performance. The problem with Aston Villa at the moment, and it's why I'm annoyed that I've let myself get sucked back into Ollie Swatkins, is that they miss Grealish. They miss the creativity that Grealish has. He's not even been playing Barkley. He's been coming on for bits and pieces. So there's no real creativity going on through the middle there. El Ghazi, like, not there. Like, it baffles me, the going forward business. And the trouble with Dean Smith is that we don't really know what's happening with Grealish.
Yeah. He's trying to make a point, isn't he, Grealish? Smith, isn't he, in my opinion? The whole attack on FPL a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't like the guy anyway, and I hate him even more now after that, to be honest with you. What an absolute muppet. But since then, he's been like really coy with his Grealish updates, hasn't he? And it's almost like I'm going to purposely play my cards close to my chest. I don't want anybody knowing about Grealish. It's like, no one cares that much, mate.
Well, I think he's annoyed that the opposition get wind of it. But the reality is that, you know, if Grealish isn't there, I've got Ollie Watkins in my team, and I'd rather have Antonio. I'd rather have Antonio. Like, I wish I hadn't have made that transfer for double game week 26. Yeah,
yes.
When I did that.
Yeah.
I did Antonio to Watkins, and I wish at that point I'd have stopped myself and gone, Samantha, do not get dragged back into Ollie Watkins. You know what he was like last time. And also, Grealish isn't there, so this will not be a good move.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, I let myself get done by the double game week stuff. And because I think if Aston Villa weren't playing in 29, I never would have done that transfer.
No.
Even for the double game week, I wouldn't have done it.
Oh, if Swatkins wasn't playing in 29, he would not be in my team.
Exactly.
He would not be in my team. He's really...
He's gone on the wild card, if not before.
Ah, yeah, I think so. And to be honest with you, I don't want to talk about the rest of the games because they were absolute dross fests, including West Brom Newcastle, which was terrible. Sheffield United Southampton wasn't much better. Not that I watched it. That was
definitely
a garden centre game. And then Brighton threw it away in the last minute to Amati, didn't they? So, listen, I don't want to talk about any of those games. They were all absolute dross. And to be honest with you, That's kind of my overriding feeling from this game week.
Spurs were brilliant.
Spurs were good, yeah. But apart from that, United played very, very well.
They were good.
Apart from that, it was dross, wasn't it? We had to wait until this afternoon to get any decent matches of football.
Should get a good one tomorrow night.
Really, I'm hoping West Ham Leeds is a corker. I mean, on paper, based on what we've seen this year, that should be a fantastic game, shouldn't it? So that's 0-0.
Who knows about Chelsea and Everton? But at West Ham, well, I take 0-0.
Yeah,
I got two defenders playing. They got to get 14 points.
Yeah, I must admit, it was one of those weekends where my tactic to watch less football, because you guys will know that over the course of this season, I've got. I don't know, and I've heard other people say this on podcasts and stuff. And we've got to be careful what we say because we do work for the Premier League. But the constant drip feed of football over the course of a weekend can
we
get
disagree
a bit,
on this, don't we?
You are okay I love with it, but I don't. I think it's. I just think it gets really monotonous. I cannot wait, guys. I cannot wait for Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs again, where there's six games. Gillette Soccer Saturday. Boom, get them done. And then there's two games, Super Sunday, yeah. Done. I hate this constant drip, 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 drip of FPL.
See, I don't know.
And the football, it's a nightmare.
I find I like it because it gets me through the weekends. This constant football being on all the time. I really love that. So we disagree on it. And I think, but I do think from an FPL point of view, what it does is it means that you overthink decisions that you would just make like that in a normal season.
Quite possibly.
Because you watch everything and you overthink every decision because you watch a player. Like this Salah thing, we wouldn't watch Liverpool every game week normally.
No.
Because they wouldn't be on televised. We'd watch them on Match of the Day, of course. But wouldn't.
Every week I have to sit there and watch this dross.
Well, no. But as an FPL, forget the Liverpool thing. You watch him with minute detail and then you end up holding him because you think, oh, well, I saw like the first half today, Salah looked all right. So I was thinking, oh, maybe I've done the right thing keeping him. And then the second half, it was awful. But if he'd have played like that again, first half again in the second half and got nothing, I think I'd have sat here tonight and said, yeah, but he looked all right.
Okay. Charlie King is saying, remember the time when everyone was outraged that a couple of games got put on pay-per-view? I wouldn't even dream of paying $14.95 for a game now, would you? I wouldn't even dream of it. I wouldn't even pay $4.95, never mind $14.95. Let's get on. We're talking about our teams, and I have to tell you guys, this is one of the worst game weeks, if not my worst game week of the season so far. It has been a tragedy from start to finish. My game week points is 19, guys, 19. Really, really bad. My overall rank has gone down from 73k, I think it was, to 125k.
Ow.
Absolute stinker. Nothing's gone right. Absolutely nothing's gone right. Obviously, benching Fernandez, big L. Benching Shaw, big L. Although, I would have done that, I think, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Fernandez, I was a bit unsure. I didn't feel comfortable doing it, but Shaw.
Any chance he's coming on?
No, he's third. So no,
Bruno.
No. Bruno, well, I've got Antonio and Bamford and Rafinha to play.
Mm.
So, listen, if Antonio's hamstrings need a rest, don't bring him on, Big Davy Moyes. Do you know what I mean? Could happen. Could happen.
Oh, listen,
my bench has got 24 points. My actual team has got 19. It is a horror show of a game week. My game week rank is 7.1 million, for those interested.
It is absolutely
shocking. I have, of course, got Cancelo, Diaz and Gundogan captain to play. I've got Rafinha, Bamford and Antonio to play. But outside of that, it has been terrible. I don't have all of the big owned players that have done well this week. So no Kane hurts me. No Martinez hurts me. There's a lot of players that have really, really killed my rank. So I'm really hoping that Antonio can do something for me tomorrow and Rafinha can pop up. I'm looking for that game to be high scoring. I really, really need it to be. So,
for excitement too, right?
So cue a 0-0 or maybe a 1-0 with a Dallas goal. That's bound to happen. So listen.
You benched him.
I've benched Dallas, second sub, yeah. So there are some game weeks, guys, where you just have to suck it up and say, that has been an absolute disaster. And this has been an absolute disaster so far. But
can only get better.
We move on. Let's talk about a much better game week. 50 points for you this week. Overall rank up to 50k. Not bad. Not bad. Talk us through it.
Not bad. I wish Harry Kane had done that last week when my triple captain was on him. But yes, it is what it is. One move this week, I bought Martinez in finally, about blimmin' time, you might all say, and yes, you are entirely correct.
Yeah.
And I said to you, didn't I, watching that game yesterday, suddenly I feel at peace when Villa play. I said that to him lunchtime.
They can't hurt me.
I was like, can't hurt me anymore.
You're in a safe place
if he loses the clean sheet, don't care. If he keeps the clean sheet, don't care. I'm safe. Like, it felt better. Still got three to go tomorrow. Creswell, Dallas and Bamford. One of them, you know.
So you've got Creswell and Dallas. It's going to be 0-0, isn't it? I can absolutely see it being 0-0.
Well, I didn't play them for their 0-0 status. I played them because true. I thought that they were going to attack each other.
That's true.
Because that's what they do, these two clubs. So I thought, well, you know, they could get something from each other, attacking returns. But yeah, it's a decent week so far. I was disappointed with my City assets. But to be honest, I also feel like, well, everyone's disappointed with their City assets. And I only have two. So at the moment, it's not too bad. But that could hurt me going into the Southampton game, when we see how the Pep roulette goes. Because, let's be frank, somebody's getting dropped.
There is no doubt that Kane has absolutely caned me this week. There's no doubt. The 19-pointer is a killer. Because if you take 19 points off of your rank, that's 31 compared to my 19, which is still... 19 is still crap. But that's still... I mean, that's 10 points. That doesn't feel quite so bad.
No.
But the Kane absolutely kills it. Because he's so highly owned, he's really, really done me there. And had I done the transfer, had I done what I was planning to do for the hit and taken DCL and Robbo out for Lascelles and Kane, I would be up there in the 50. So it's fine lines. It's a mistake. I should have taken the hit. But nevertheless, 50k is pretty good. Where do you want to end up at the end of the season? Where do you want to be? Is this top 10k? That's absolutely achievable, isn't it?
Do you think it is?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been back and forward on this this year because the problem I have is that in normal seasons, I'd be... By this stage, I'm about where I end up finishing up, usually. Like, last season, I was about 4 or 5K by this stage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like every time I catch a break, I get hit with something else this year. Like, it's like every I get up a bit. So, that this week, it's about a 20K rank rise at the moment. Lovely. Thanks very much. Next week, I get smacked in the face by something. It's constant.
At the end of the day, 50k is a bloody good place to be, and it is difficult to make those jumps from there.
I mean, I think if I could get inside the top, if I can break 50k and hold it for a couple of weeks, that would feel good. If I could end the season at 30k or above, I'd be thrilled, because this has been a really hard, and this is what we must remember. Is that this has been an incredibly difficult season.
Unprecedented season.
It's been really tough. Unprecedented. People like Nathan, who are flying, he is unbelievable this year, are doing remarkably well, because it is really hard to catch breaks and get on the right players at the right time. And as Lee said, it's fine margins at the moment. Like, I think I might do this transfer and then just not, because something else comes up, or like the Martinez thing. Had I done that 3 weeks ago, I probably would be inside the top 30k already, but other things kept coming up. So
absolutely,
it's been one of them seasons for me. But
I tell you what, I'm not
going
sure the bench Souček against Leeds.
Also, so I was going to play my bench boost this week, and then I couldn't guarantee that McCarthy was going to play, and I didn't want to play it with McCarthy not playing. I might regret it. But
any thoughts on a transfer for next week? Is it too early to consider your transfer for next week?
It will likely be Salah out.
You think Salah out? Yeah, it's going to be a massive.
Somebody.
Going to be an exit.
Well, the other thing is that somebody who doesn't play in 29's got to go. So it makes sense.
Yes.
Probably.
Who else have you got in there that doesn't play in 29 that is expendable? Bruno, Gundogan, Diaz.
It's my City boys, my United boys.
Apart from that, though, you seem pretty covered.
I am.
You seem pretty covered, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I've got Ben White, of course, who's playing in 29 who can come on. I've got Souček who can come on. So I'm nearly there for an 11. So I think it will be Salah first, then one of my City boys the week after.
Okay, very good. Well, there we go, guys. Sam into the top 50k. Me down in the doldrums, down in the 120k. Doubled my rank this week. However, I'm praying for an Antonio hat-trick. Come on, Antonio's hamstrings. If he gets injured in the first few minutes, I'm going to be fuming.
You know what's going to happen tomorrow,
absolutely,
don't you?
Absolutely fuming.
Calvert-Lewin will score.
Calvert-Lewin absolutely nailed on to score tomorrow, given my game week. Well, listen, thank you guys for joining us on this episode of FPL Family. As usual, you can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the usual social media platforms. Any pods or shows going on this week?
Yes, I'm podding this week.
You are podding with Mr. James Richardson on the official FPL pod later this week, out on Thursday, guys, so look out for that. Any fantasy football scout articles, etc., going up this week? Almost certainly.
Scout the Game Week will be out on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah,
night.
Scout the Game Week, yes.
So that'll be out on Wednesday night with Brett from FPL Shake and Bake this week, which will be fun. There'll be scout outs. There'll be a scout network and a scout academy article as well this week.
Nice one, very good. Well, listen, just a quick one before we go. I do want to give a shout out to the boys from the FPL Experiment podcast.
Love so those guys.
Here's a few guys, Adam and the guys that we met. We only met virtually, clearly, because they haven't been around long enough for us to meet up in London yet.
But one day,
I'm sure we're going to get to meet these guys. But they did their debut Premier League, official Fantasy Premier League show last week, and they absolutely smashed it. So well done to Adam and the guys from the FPL Experiment. If you're not following them on Twitter yet, go check them out over there. Listen to their podcast. I love it. There's about three or four podcasts that I listen to every single week. There's now five because I've added the FPL Experiment. They're really, really good lads. It's just the lads talking about football.
Because they're mates
in a pub or a virtual pub discussing FPL. What's not to like? It's absolutely great.
They're just also really, really nice guys as well.
Absolutely,
Adam,
yes.
Nick and Greg, they are so lovely. They've done a Scout the Game with me. We've been on their pods a couple of times this season. They've got a couple more Scout the Game weeks in the diary with me for this season too. They are absolutely lovely guys. So
there we go. Check them out. There we go, guys. That is the end of FPL Family for this week. Well done if you've got anything over 19 this game week. Congratulations to absolutely everybody that's beaten me. 7 million FPL managers that have beaten me.
Still 1.7 million that didn't.
Is that how many there's in the game?
8 million.
Is it over 8 million?
It's over 8 million.
I don't feel quite so bad now.
It's about a million, isn't it?
Congratulations to all 7.1 million that beat me this week. Very, very easy to beat me this week. But you never know. Antonio, Rafinha and Bamford could do the business for me tomorrow. Or is it going to be Creswell and Dallas for you in a 0-0? I think it's going to be the latter. Let us know what scores you think you're going to get in West Ham versus Leeds in the comments below. Until next time, guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new to FPL Family and the little notify bell. And we'll see you this time next week for another FPL Family. Cheers.
Bye, guys.